with Screech, Dustin Diamond, and the book is Behind the Bell. Dustin, how you doing this morning?
I'm feeling top-notch, my friend.
All right.
Very good.
I guess your castmates are pretty upset with you. They wouldn't let you be part of the People magazine shoot over some of these allegations.
No, that's not true. That's internet rumor. The real story is that I've been traveling 47 weeks a year doing stand-up comedy, and, you know, let's face it, I did 10 years of that show, taking, you know, NBC stock rooms filled with publicity photos from ceiling to floor over, you know, a decade with these guys. Why am I going to give up on a 2,200-seat paying audience to fly myself out to take a picture with a cast that's pushing 40?
You want to be on the cover of People magazine?
I mean, that's huge.
Do you know how many times I've been on the cover of People magazine in my career?
It generally is pretty good for a career, I would imagine.
In fact, Dustin, let me ask you this. It says the reason why you weren't on People, because the castmates apparently didn't want you there, but they said due to being uncomfortable with their one-time colleague over his, quote, post-show antics, which have included a leaked porn movie where the former child star raves of his fondness for, and then they put this as a quote, poop, and multiple publicity stunts to raise money for his foreclosed upon home. Now, I miss the poop part of all this. What's that all about?
Oh, that would be the Dirty Sanchez.
Oh, sweet.
Silencer for everybody.
Here's a question, though. You're about to play in front of 2,200 people when this People magazine thing is going on. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that was the date.
Okay, so why is it that you're having all these issues with your finances, with foreclosure, with your car being repoed, if you're playing in front of 2,200 people every night?
My car has never been repoed. I live in my house. It's fine. It's not in foreclosure. The problem is...
Well, you know, your house, you were afraid you were going to be in foreclosure, though, because you were selling the T-shirts. You told us that.
Wrong. I was actually at a gag order.
I'm going to get the tape.
The guy was committing federal tax fraud is what was going on. My property tax payments were built into my monthly mortgage payments. The guy I was paying was pocketing the
property tax. I can't possibly argue with this.
Well, yeah, it's hard to argue with reality. It's pain. And
I don't understand. So you're saying you've not had any financial problems whatsoever?
Well, who can say that? We're in a recession. I mean, come on. Open your eyes, my friend. I've also never died in New Zealand. Never, you know, been found hooked on crack in a shack.
Nobody's saying you've been found hooked on crack. It just seemed that you were having some financial issues. You told us you spent, 40 minutes
forever
on these airwaves talking about your financial issues.
No, talking about how I had the problems going on with the house. But everyone took it from the internet and made it, you know, like it was I was destitute and everything else, which is not true.
I thought you had a land contract you couldn't pay for some reason.
No, I had a land contract where the guy was pocketing the property tax money. But fortunately, that none of that is in my book, Behind the Bell.
Yeah. Talking about your book, somebody wrote us an email, and they said they actually ended up seeing your stand-up act in Ann Arbor at the Comedy Showcase, and they said that you spent the night bad-mouthing the cast of Saved by the Bell, and specifically bad-mouthing Mark Paul Gosselaar, who you claimed was gay and loved performing on other men, although you used it in a much more graphic sense. I find it interesting in the book he doesn't say anything like that about Zach. Now it's a steroid story. Can you comment on that?
Stand-up comedy, you can make a joke about Zach because Zach is a fictitious character. I never say anything about Mark Paul in my act. You should see my act sometime. I think you'd enjoy it.
I don't know. So are you playing in front of 2,200 people regularly? What is your typical crowd for stand-up?
I don't know. I don't have my ticket counter, you know, with me all the time. But I know that most of my shows are sold out. Most of my crowds love what I'm doing.
What arenas are you playing? Like, when you play Detroit, where do you play?
Arenas? I play theaters and colleges, man. Arenas are a bit above my level.
What venue would you play if you were playing in Detroit?
What?
What venue would you play if you prefer that?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'd have to talk to my agent. See, that's what I got people for.
Yeah. Where did you play last time you were here?
Well, I'm actually going to be out there soon giving a lecture series in Flint, Michigan, like within under a week.
Where are you playing that, though, or where's the series?
Rod.
Huh?
Where? What?
I'm asking my agent, my friend.
Oh,
okay.
I'm just giving a lecture series on the industry and acting. It's a very quaint thing.
Let me ask you about this. Gosselaar is talking with Newsweek in respects to your book. Said, what's he going to say? We were banging groupies at 14. I can't wait to read his book because I don't have a memory of a lot of the shows. Maybe it was because I was doing lines off an audience member's asses. I'm sure he's going to write something crazy like that. And he's been quite outspoken, pretty much taking a lot of shots at you. Any comment on that?
Gosh, you know, I have no knowledge of that. That's not in the book. I think people should probably read the book that I wrote instead of taking excerpts and things that are not true. Wikipedia, Internet Movie Database, all these type of things, they're not governed by anybody. I mean, you can go home. I could go home and update you
on
Wikipedia.
All right. How about Tiffany Amber Thiessen? What was going on with her? It seems to be suggested that if she was maybe getting it on to try and weasel her way into 90210. Now, that's in the book.
Have you read the book, my friend? I'm taking that as a no. Since it came.
No, I read a lot of the book. You said that she and Brian Austin Green had something going on, and she dumped him when she got a 90210.
Yeah, those are facts.
Right. That's in the book.
Yes.
So are you suggesting that she was getting it on with people to further her career?
Hey, I just state the facts, man. I state what I was there for and what I saw. In fact, I wrote this book out of pressure for the fans because these are the questions that I get asked over 24 years from everybody. You know, who was sleeping with who? What was going on with who? What was it like being 12 years old at the Playboy Mansion? What was this? What was that? You know, who was banging Kelly? Who was banging Lisa?
Okay, let's try this one. What about Emmanuel Lewis at Michael Jackson's house? Did he say something about being put in the same room with Bubbles and having to end up in Bubbles' cage because he was afraid because Bubbles is a little bit bigger than him? Is that in the book and true?
I don't think that's in the book, but I did work
really?
With Emmanuel, and Emmanuel did tell me a story that was along those lines.
You don't think that's in the book?
Oh, I don't remember, man.
Where do you think I got that?
I write the book yesterday and then say, hey, can I do some radio?
You're getting so specific about things being not in the book or in the book. That was in the book. Where do you think I would find that out?
I don't know. You might know Emmanuel.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's not real likely, but whatever.
So apparently, if it's in the book, it's... I'll read it when we're done with you. How's that?
I do appreciate the very good picture you got in there, by the way, of Tiffany Amber, because that's a nice picture you chose there, by the way. She's looking super smoking hot in that picture.
My book doesn't have pictures in it.
Yes.
Really?
It's got color photos in it. You know that.
No, it doesn't.
Have you seen your book?
I'm holding my book.
I'm holding it, too.
Yeah, we both have books, and there are pictures in it.
A big color section of pictures. They're all color photographs. What are you talking about?
What do you
about?
Have such a hard-on about? What is your problem?
It's Dustin. Well, it starts on page 84.
This is my book. I'm looking at my book. There's no pictures.
I'm looking at your book. Are these pictures in his book? Yeah, is this nice, his book? Behind
nice
the bell.
Page,
yeah.
Go to nice page, color photos.
Go to page 84. It starts on 84. The last sentence of page 83, it made it hard for the lighting camera guys to set up their shots and get their angles. I turn the page, which would be 84.
Okay, now we're flipping.
Oh, okay.
You see that?
I understand. I didn't pick these photos out. I wrote the book.
Well, why are you accusing us of looking at a picture that's not in the book then? You're being a complete asshole. What is your problem?
Dustin?
Oh, God, he's gone. He's gone.
Oh.
What an idiot.
Don't call here again, asshole.
There's no pictures in the book.
What a jackass.
Can you imagine making a statement like that? There's no pictures in my book.
There's not
idiot.
One thing we said that isn't in the book.
I know it. And everything everybody...
Well, his car being repoed is not in the book, but...
He is beyond confrontational. Right out of the
my
gate.
My friend?
Yeah,
right out
friend.
Of the gate.
My friend, Rod.
Two minutes into that phone
call.
Oh,
wait, is this him?
Try it. Pick it up. See
is it a New York number?
Let them know they're on the air.
Is it a 212?
Go ahead and answer, Mark.
Yeah.
But right out of the gate,
there.
You guys, I answer the hotline, and it's back in the studio where he is. Can you tell Drew and Mike to get to the book immediately, or we are going to disconnect this call?
We're talking about the book.
I thought.
And people's response to the book, which is interesting. I mean, his castmates are coming out to talk about the book.
Jeez. And he suggests that his castmates are referring to things that aren't in the book, or they're making things up, or they're responding to some, you know, two lines in the book. Or,
yeah.
You know, he's such a jackass.
Well, what do we expect? It's Dustin Diamond. Every time we talk with him, we end up in a war like this.
He can't go on People Magazine because he's playing a 2,200-seat venue, arena, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't believe that, frankly. Has he ever played a 2,200-seat venue for stand-up comedy? I don't buy that.
At the bowling alley.
Not only that, there's several people that have... They actually are embarrassed that they ended up going to his show, but they said when they did, he was just absolutely not funny at all.
I didn't know exactly how they
did you enjoy it. but I kind of thought it would end like that anyway.
Oh, it always does.
You knew that would be the tone of it, because he's always
Mark,
a jackass.
Absolutely. Every time we talk with him, it's combative, argumentative. We always end up bumping heads with
him. He's ripping these people in the book. He's absolutely... Yeah.
Which is why they're pissed.
He spares no one.
And you can't win. You bring something up, he accuses you of not reading his book. If you read my book,
my friends,
what's in there, and blah, 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 blah. And then you say, okay, this is in the book. And he goes, well, I don't know. I mean, I wrote that. I don't know exactly what's in there. I just state
the facts.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Okay, so do you think he had, I mean, he has another writer on this book.
Oh,
right?
Clearly. Wouldn't surprise me a bit.
So obviously this guy wrote a lot of it, and Dustin
never bothered to read his own book.
A few stories.
Wait, this Emmanuel Lewis story was a very funny story. He was saying that, and he said, by the way, that he got this from Emmanuel Lewis. That Emmanuel
you
Lewis
got
told
this
him.
From Emmanuel Lewis. Your buddies with him.
Yeah, I talked to him. Sure.
Yeah. Well, you could have talked to him.
Where in the hell would I get a story like that? Emmanuel Lewis allegedly, according to the book, told him that Michael Jackson thought it was really funny because Emmanuel was so small. To put him in this gymnasium room where Bubbles had free reign and would, you know, there were all these ropes and stuff. And so he'd, like, lock the door, put Emmanuel in there, and Emmanuel would be eventually freaking out because Bubbles was bigger than him.
Yeah.
And so Emmanuel would go in Bubbles' cage for safety.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a funny story.
Well, yeah, it's a very funny story.
If it was true.
And those damn, those chimpanzees can tear you limb from limb. There's plenty of stories
absolutely.
To support that. So I don't blame him.
But if he's not going to expand on anything in the book or just say, well, yeah, it's in the book and it's a fact and take it for what it is.
Well, clearly somebody else wrote the book and he probably read it after they wrote it and now he's forgotten half the stuff in it. And
he doesn't even have a copy of it.
But he's such a self-righteous jerk, though. I mean,
to not realize that there's photographs in his own book. I mean, look at that alone.
I just train him.
I mean, how stupid is that? And they want to say he didn't pick those either. Somebody else put that together. Oh, my God.
I don't think he had much to do with it.
By the way, he's got a pretty big font size going in the book, too.
That's the first thing I said when I gave you the book.
Yeah. Double spacing.
Yeah, it's a double space with a gigundous font, and that brings out about 310 pages.
I can't believe he hangs up, too. He finally called him, you know, basically call him out for being a jackass or an a-hole or whatever I called him, and he just hangs up.
Well, he's losing the argument. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like to lose an argument.
Well, I don't know what the argument is that we didn't read the book. I know I read the book. I know I'm looking at pictures in the book. I know where I got the story.
Yeah. Well,
he's such an ass.
He is an ass. He was an ass when he came on and then spent like half the morning complaining and carrying on about his stupid land contract mortgage and those dumb t-shirts and trying to get us to help him.
And he wanted to call the mortgage broker on the air and nail this guy. And he said, you know, he'd gotten some other show. They called the guy and threatened him and all this. And
I know.
Yeah, we got to call this guy. Yeah, right. We're really worried about your mortgage broker who surely, you know, he said he promised him all these things and no, he won't return my call. So we got to call him and straighten him out and call him out. Well, obviously, he looked at Dustin's credit. His credit sucks.
Oh, of course
and the guy,
it does.
Rather than, you know, return his call and basically tell him, hey, your credit sucks. I don't think I can do this. He just didn't return his call.
No.
So you can't cross Dustin Diamond.
Oh, man. Well, look at, though. No wonder they didn't want him on the cover of People magazine. No, nobody wants to be near this guy because he's nothing but a walking tornado of BS. A guy, Brian just wrote us
his
that...
His castmates didn't want him on People magazine. It wasn't because he had a gig at a 2,200-seat arena.
No, they didn't want him.
And the point the point about his finances, too, is, hey, who doesn't have a recession? Of course, who doesn't have financial problems? Well, the point was, after he was on Saved by the Bell all these years as a child actor, you'd think the guy would have put away a pretty decent sum of money, especially if he's now playing 2,200-seat arenas.
Oh, yeah. Well, he goes on to kind of addresses some of that by saying that parents that are in charge of money and the way TV contracts are done, they sign you at a very small amount of money, and then they do three-year deals so that when the show becomes huge, you're still getting screwed. And then as time goes on, your parents mismanage the money or lock it away or what have you. And so he implies he's been screwed financially from the very beginning.
But he's now, what is he, 32 years old?
Something like that.
He's had a career for 10 years. He claims, you know, he's got this successful stand-up career.
So much for that. And Brian addresses that. He said he saw him at Portofino's in Wyandotte. He probably did a percentage of the door, which is his mistake because there were, quote, 35 people there.
Ouch.
35 people, according to Brian, at that gig.
I think we got somebody on the line who saw his stand-up. Are you still there?
Yes.
Hey, who's this?
This is John.
Hey, John.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Good, man. How you doing, John?
Not too bad. We saw Dustin Diamond in East Lansing. We got free tickets. It was at some cafeteria being put on by the Jewish community.
No.
Oh, it was terrible. There couldn't have been 100 people in there.
Uh-oh.
Did he rip his castmates, though? Did he talk about them in unflattering terms?
Yeah, he was graphic. He definitely, for someone who hates Saved by the Bell like he supposedly does, he had to reference them a lot. He was saying, up yours, Zach, and the other guy, AC Slater. He was making fun of them.
Well, see,
it got so quiet in there at one point, someone yelled, "You suck," and that was the funniest part of the whole show.
And did he then go after the person?
He did. He made some comment, but by then everyone of the 100, at least 50 of them, had walked out and left.
It was the
worst thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. Well, that's like Jan writes that when her and her boyfriend saw him in Ann Arbor, she said also he was very graphic. Now, see, regarding a Gosser, and said that he loved, you know, S word and D word and all that, and very graphic and very disgusting about his castmates. Now, when we confronted him with that, he would say, "Oh, I was referring to his character. I wasn't talking about him personally."
That's not the impression the people at the show get.
Absolutely not.
The bottom line is, it's really pathetic and embarrassing that this guy is on this show, and he's the longest-running person in the show, along with Mr. Belding.
Mm-hmm.
They were on there for three versions of the show. Because there's the college years, and then I think there was one more incarnation. I don't know if it made it anywhere. But, you know, he finishes with this show. He's doing the stand-up on his rider. He insists that I'm to be promoted as Dustin Diamond, not Screech. And then what does he talk about in the show? Nothing but Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
Nothing but crappy
the
things.
You know, does the whole thing, recreates half the lines, the whole bit.
And he thinks he's going to get attention, you know, by telling you all these horrific things about Gosselaar and Mario Lopez and Tiffany Amber Thiessen, which
she screwed her way through her career.
You read it. He implies that she's a slut in this book, and she sleeps her way
through her career and everything else. She's a pincushion.
Well, didn't you get
like
the feeling?
She looks like a sea urchin on any Saturday night.
I don't know. I'm wondering what questions.
Crack my own self up.
What questions would he answer in this book? Because it sounds to me like all of a sudden he's got some legal concerns.
Well, you know.
Because the Tiffany Amber Thiessen thing, clearly he suggested that.
Oh!
There's no question.
No question at all.
But when asked about it, he says, did you read the book?
Yeah.
Did you read the.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, it pisses me off, too, that I did read
a
lot of
this read
book.
The book.
What a waste
him.
Of time.
Oh, yeah. Stupid book. Yeah, we normally keep all of our books, not that one.
But
stupid.
Do not buy his book.
No, it's dumb.
You were asking what he did for Saved by the Bell. He did the original series for 10 years or whatever that was. Then he did the college years for 2 seasons, which was on primetime.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then the new class, which was a whole new cast, except for the two people who could do nothing else in their career, Screech and Belding.
Right.
The principal, you know.
Hey, yeah.
But he would have you believe that he's been on the cover of People magazine so many times that why would he interrupt this fabulous stand-up career to go back and be on People magazine?
He's trying to save face. He's trying to save face. The fact that his castmates didn't want him there, they didn't want him on the cover, they couldn't stand him because of all the things that he has been saying about them. They had enough of it.
By the way, I just watched some of his stand-up.
Watch it, by the way?
I had Jim edit it, and he's working on it right now.
How graphic is it?
Well, the first thing he comes out and says is the F word, and everyone's like, "Yeah, Screech!" And then he goes, "How many people are just like, hey, Screech just swore?" So, I mean, he's using Screech.
Yeah, of course he is.
I mean, the whole act is about Screech.
And yet, in his rider, he said,
Dustin Diamond.
He's presenting a mature Dustin Diamond, not the character Screech.
Let's go through his stand-up and see if it has much swearing so we can listen to it on the air, because I bet it's 99% Saved by the Bell, and also I bet it sucks.
Yeah.
But how funny that People magazine, you know how many times I've been on the cover of People magazine, and I've got a 2,200-person gig to be up.
Jeez.
What a joke.
Jeremiah Chef.
He's not kidding anybody.
He said that he has seen Dennis, Mr. Belding, and has seen his speeches. We interviewed him.
I wonder how his karaoke CD's doing.
Yeah. He said he draws
Dennis about, is a nice guy.
He said he draws about 2,000 people. He has also seen
Dennis
Dustin
does?
Diamond. Yeah.
Really?
Yep, he's also seen Dustin Diamond, and at most, he pulls in 100 on a good night. Although he says by the time he's done, there's generally about 15 or 20 people left, so people routinely walk out of his stupid shows.
Yeah, boy.
It's just lame.
I'm surprised that Belding draws that many people. That's pretty amazing. He's a nice guy.
He's a motivational speaker. Hey, come on.
In fact, he won't even rip Dustin Diamond.
Yeah.
He'll only say, oh, I love all the kids. He kind of acts as if he's sort of really their principal in real life.
And then
he has their best interests in mind.
Yeah.
And he's kind of protective about his kids, who are now in their 30s.
So stupid.
Yeah. But that karaoke CD, what is that? Is it like doing karaoke with Mr. Belding or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't imagine whose idea that was and who thought that would,
I know, would
do anything.
Out.
But he couldn't plug that enough when we were talking to him.
I know it. In fact, Dennis Haskins, his comments on this book, he just says, I don't want to comment on what Dustin said. Haskins told Radar Online at Dimple's Karaoke Bar. There he was. He was speaking from a karaoke bar in Burbank on a Thursday night.
Check, please.
You bet. Quote, I don't know anything about it. I don't want to know anything about it. I loved all those kids, and I still do. So Dennis is just sidestepping the whole thing so he doesn't end up pissed off.
Six. All right. Let's try Lucas. You're on the riff, Lucas.
Hey, how you guys doing? Great.
Good, man.
Not bad, thanks.
Oh, I got a great story for you. It's about 2005. I was out in East Lansing partying out there. And
cool.
I get a call from this girl I used to hang out with. She's in Ann Arbor, and she goes, hey, I'm hanging out. You'll never guess. I'm hanging out with Screech. You got to get out here. He wants some coke.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Well, this is kind of third person, so I've got to be a little careful about suggesting that we know this to be true, but she's alleging that she was buying cocaine for Screech, quote unquote. Was she buying it for the character or for Dustin Diamond?
She gives the phone to Dustin, and I talk to him.
Really?
And you actually talk to him?
He goes, yeah, my friend Tim here tells you you're a good person. Come on out. You got to hang out with us and all this. I don't really dabble in that kind of stuff, but I wanted to try to get out there because it would be a great story to tell the grandkids.
Did it sound like him?
Yeah, definitely. I knew it was him for sure.
And how did he get mixed up? Well, first of all, is the chick that he was with, is she hot?
Oh, yeah.
She is. Okay.
Yeah, right.
How did he get mixed up with her?
Well, I guess he's doing a show at that comedy showcase in Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they just kind of hooked up with him after the show. There was maybe four or five
of them. That's the show that Jan wrote about that I've been talking about, where he attacked Gosselaar, talking about him being a homo and all this stuff that he does and all this really graphic, heavy
that
stuff.
That was the character.
Yeah, that was the character. Of course,
that's
when I confront him about it. But, yeah, that's the show where she said it was so totally lame and so many people were walking out.
Okay, so what ends up happening? Did you go, by the way? Did you go and meet him?
No, I couldn't. I mean, I was tied up. I was already drinking. I was out in East Lansing. But, man, I would have killed to try to get a hold of him.
Did you find out from this chick whatever happened with, did she put out for him, or did he party with her and her friends?
I don't think so. I know they partied for a while. They had an apartment. I was living in the same apartment complex as them. It was on South Ewing Forest. And I guess they just kind of hit the bars for the night, ended up back there drinking at her place, and he bailed.
Well, I bet he tried everything in his power, including using every Saved by the Bell story you could possibly think of. But, as far as this cocaine thing, I want to be very careful about suggesting that
we
know that to be true. We don't.
We have no idea.
Something he heard essentially secondhand. Although he says he talked to Screech. Is this Bob?
Yeah, this is Rob.
Rob, go ahead. You're on the riff.
Yeah. Hey, Drew and Mike.
Hey, man.
Hey, I just called to say Dustin Diamond, he was on TMZ about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Playing a pizza joint. There's about 10 people in there.
Oh, no.
Boy. They reference a gig at a pizza joint in here. That's where the writer is from. In fact, this guy says, he says he sold a lot of liquor, but I think this venue only held 50 or 100 people. Did he finish the show there? I mean, was the place empty, or was he supposed to play for 10 or 20 people?
It wasn't on that long. They were just ripping on him about playing a pizza joint and how pathetic it was.
Okay.
It's pathetic, all right.
According to this, he sold out the 50-seat All-Stars Comedy Club at Listrani's Italian Restaurant in Arlington, Virginia, August the 1st and 2nd, and the crowd loved him. Manager Kevin Lee told Radar Online. Now, I don't know what his motivation is to tell Radar Online the crowd loved him, and why, if he's so good and so lovable, why is he playing a 50-seat venue?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many comedy clubs seat 50 people? Is that really a comedy club?
I don't know of any. It just sounds like a tiny little restaurant. And I'm guessing probably most of the people that are with it end up walking out. I suppose the 10 or 15, 20 that are left are such diehard fans that no matter what he does or says, they think it's great.
After being banned by fellow cast members from a photo shoot reunion, one that he didn't want to do, because you know how many times he's been on People Magazine, the cover of People Magazine? How many times has he been on the cover of People Magazine? Is there any way to find that out?
We can look it up.
Because I'm willing to bet, how many times do you think he, Dustin Diamond, by himself, has been on the cover of People Magazine?
I don't think ever.
Never.
How many times do you think he, as part of the cast of Saved by the Bell, has been on the cover
Probably
of People
three.
Magazine?
Probably three.
Maybe once by accident.
I would bet three or four times.
The show, you think they were on that many times?
Saved by the Bell, the show is probably
on
the cover.
Yeah, I would think the show would have been on the cover at some point, possibly.
Does it count if you're talking about a one-inch-by-one-inch picture in the corner?
Yeah, he's probably, there's probably 15 people, the whole cast, Mr. Belding. So, you know, for him to suggest that being on the cover of People is no big whoop.
No, I would think maybe the show itself probably took up the cover maybe once in its heyday.
Yeah. After being banned.
And then this other People Magazine cover was probably a kind of a here they are today kind of a thing.
But he's really, I mean, when he said that, do you know how many times I've been on the cover? Don't you think that implies that he himself has been on the cover three or four times?
Yeah, but he's just, you know, like everything else he says, it's all garbage. He just, it's just a nonstop open faucet of BS.
Well, let's see, after being banned by fellow cast members for being on the cover of People, a story broken exclusively by Radar Online, he made a comeback of sorts at a pizza joint.
That's not There's a comeback another of pizza sorts. Joint. I don't consider that a comeback.
I don't either. John?
Yeah.
Go ahead. You're on the rip.
Hey, I got a friend. Oh, by the way, I want to say I love you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, a friend of mine, his name is Tim Zykowski. He lives in Wyandotte. He has a cable TV show on Wyandotte Cable where he interviews people of interest, you know, writers, directors, athletes.
Okay.
But he interviewed Dustin Diamond in his home. It was about a year or so.
we're looking at it right now.
Yeah, and the guy was a complete ass.
You know? Oh, is that right?
You can see it on YouTube. The name of the show is Anybody Who Ain't Anybody.
Yeah, we're looking at it. We have it up on the computer screen.
Well, tell us, what does he do on the show, or what does he say?
Yeah, why is he an ass?
He interviews a lot of people like Roly Derby Girl.
No, but I mean, why is Dustin Diamond, what is he saying that where you say he was a complete ass?
Oh, well, all he does is just talk about himself. The interviewer, Tim, he can't even get a word in edgewise. The guy's just spotting out and just going, yeah, this and that and the other thing. But, you know, he's supposed to...
John, is there any swearing on this? Because we have it up on YouTube right now, and I was thinking about bringing it up on the air. Do you know, is there any language that would be a problem?
Yeah, I believe there is.
Oh, there is. Okay. Well, maybe we can bleep that and get it up a little later. I don't know. I don't know how much time I want to spend on Dustin.
Yeah, you know it.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, man.
Hey, I just wanted to say you guys rock, and Drew, that was sweet when you were calling Dustin an ass.
I don't know if I've been that pissed at somebody. And just for him to keep saying you didn't read the book or you're wrong. I mean, how many times can you be told you're wrong when you eventually start going, God, am I nuts? I mean,
to suggest that there's no pictures in his book. And there's a big color picture section is just mindlessly stupid.
That was awesome. But I went to Western Michigan, and he ended up, I guess, showing up there and doing his 2,200 people thing, but there was only 20 people there.
See, there you go. That's exactly like Jeremiah's talking about. What was the place he went to?
What was the venue?
The venue was like the cafeteria, but it wasn't even like the main cafeteria.
That's the second time we've heard about the cafeteria. So he's doing his show in little dinettes and cafeteria. It looks like he likes to go to places where little small places where people eat.
Yeah, but he didn't even, like, we didn't even pay for the tickets. Me and like five of my buddies just showed up and we said, oh, Dustin Diamond.
Whoa, watch the language. Well, it's kind of funny to me that he's doing this thing in Flint, too.
Oh,
and it has to do
God,
with acting. It sounds to me like he may have an agent who has found some way to sort of weasel him into, because, you know, colleges spend a lot of money bringing people in for seminars and things like that.
Sure, sure.
And even though we know what he's all about, and most
they
people
don't.
Yeah, they just think, oh,
here's a big show
who's on Saved by the
Absolutely.
Bell.
Absolutely, he's a big character and all that, and they bring him in, and then to their horror, the guy is not a draw.
But, you know, honestly, when they do seminars like this, because I remember at VaTech we used to bring in people all the time, and if it was a name person at all, they would have like $1,500,
mm-hmm.
you know, to fly the guy in and mm-hmm. pay him, and he'd talk for an hour or something. And apparently, he's found his way into this, you know, because that's state money at state universities or it's a student activity fund. Instead of playing bars, who have to be sure that somebody's going to be a draw,
yes.
is going to bring in a drinking
yes.
crowd, and they're going to pay. They're not going to mind paying a $15 cover. He's working his way, it sounds like to me, into this sort of weasel money.
Yes.
To keep yes. himself alive.
Those schools, no by the way, pay top dollar to bring those guys
yeah.
in, too.
Of
top
course.
Dollar.
Yeah.
Dwan?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. You know, I got to tell you, I got a little sympathy for the guy. Can you imagine how angry would you be? You know, you're around these guys. They're all getting laid. Everyone's got this good stuff happening, getting jobs, and dude's got nothing going on.
Well, he claims he's screwed one chick after another to the point where in his stupid book, in the end, he's got, I think it's an appendix or it might be just a small little chapter. But
hey, why don't you find that part and read it?
Yeah.
Because that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I'll get it because he actually apologizes to the women that he's screwed.
Dwan,
ridiculous.
I think that's the part that's really pathetic about this is that he can't stand to admit that he's not on top of the world. He has to try.
How could you admit that you are screech? You've been screech for 10 or 15 years. I mean, that's got a. I mean, you hear about all these goofed up child stars. He's another goofed up child star. He just goofed up in a different way.
But look at all the people who are willing to. You know, at some point in time, you know, the guy that got the call from Ann Arbor and said, well, it's Screech. It's a story I'll tell my grandkids. But, I mean, people, no matter for what reason you're on television or you're on a television show or how small or in the past it may be, it's worth something. And down the road, there's a zillion people who will take a chance on a jerk like that, well, you know, thinking that maybe he's okay. And if he wasn't such a jackass and having to imply that he's doing so well and he's playing these giant arenas in front of these big crowds, and I think, you know, people might have a little empathy for him, you know, as a former child star, but he has to always imply that everything's great and you're wrong and, you know, he's doing fantastic.
The only way he's going to come to terms with it is enough people are going to have to, you know, let him know that he's an absolute jerk. And, you know, it took me a while to realize I was an absolute jerk.
Are you a former child star too?
Two marriages later, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he's just got to learn. He's got to. But I
think he's going to be very stubborn about it.
Oh, very. I mean, he should have learned by now. I got to tell you, the guy is getting older every minute. But these child stars, they do have problems. There's no question about it. I've got that Appendix B, by the way. It's quick.
Let's just wrap up with Amy real quick. Hey, Amy, you're on the Riff.
Good morning, Mike and Mike. How are you?
Mike and Mike?
Hi, Amy. How you doing, baby?
Good. The only thing I want to say is, seriously, what kind of person are you if you're a diehard Dustin Diamond fan?
It's frightening.
Honestly.
You're right.
Is there such thing?
I don't know.
I would say...
He hasn't said anything about his porno tapes that apparently he made.
Well, we never got to that. See, I know what he would say about that. Wouldn't he just lie and say, hey, look, I know it's me. You don't know anything about it. And someone else put it out, and I had nothing to do with it. I was just banging two chicks. And what's wrong with that?
To save his house.
Yeah. When it comes to the women, he's just very strange about all that. I mean, he divorced himself from all of that.
What women would want to be with him? I mean, Amy, seriously, there aren't women that really would want to be with this guy.
Oh, my God, no way.
It's just like the
if
book.
If he was the last man on earth, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's like the book. Well, that's not in the book. Would you care to read the book? It's probably the same thing if you start talking about the sex tape. And you could probably tell him all about a scene in the movie and be like, that's not in the sex tape. I don't know what sex tape. You haven't even seen my sex tape. You're probably more the same.
Does he reference, thanks for the call, Amy, does he reference the sex tape in the book? Because I'm trying.
I didn't run into it.
Yeah.
No. Appendix B in the back, it's a quick one. It says, to all the chicks I banged before, an open letter. Dear ladies.
Ladies.
It starts off with dear ladies.
Dear ladies.
No doubt many of you were just filthy. You'd hook up with me, with my buddies, or any dude you thought might advance your career. You just didn't care. But there were also those of you who suffered full mental breakdowns as a result of the depraved sexual S-word we did together in my younger, dumber days. Look, those are crazy times. I did a lot of stupid stuff back then. There are a lot of things I did as a young man that I'm not proud of, and if I go back, I would change them. Please allow me to explain in all modesty that a lot of the S I did was in an effort to make memories and simply live in the moment. I spent my formative years working full-time in an industry that consumed any chance I had at a normal childhood. With my pubescent hormones raging, many, perhaps most, of my decisions were guided by my monster and dirty thoughts. Dirty, dirty thoughts. Now, as a grown... What a creep. Now, as a grown man, I've had time to reflect on some of my more immature sexual escapades, and I regret many of them. Not for the women I was with, but more for my actions leading up to and during our bang sessions, and for I conducted myself afterwards.
Bang sessions? Oh, please. It's not a session if it's with that jerk.
Certainly isn't. It would be a split second. With heartfelt sincerity deepened by years of more worldly experiences and a search for substantial meaning and wisdom in my life, I offer my apologies to anyone I filthed up back in the day. To anyone I filthed up. I was a willing victim of the whirlwind of Hollywood, and I tried my hot damnedest to make the most of it. Don't get me wrong, there are a lot of great moments, too. I've reflected upon all of them. Unfortunately, remembering so many other moments, I just have to shake my head and say, D-Man, what were you thinking?
That's kind of a
D-Man,
third person.
D-Man, what were you thinking?
Kind of a third person, I believe.
No question.
No woman would want to have sex with that loser.
So for every one of you I ever hurt, unless you begged me to hurt you because that's what you were into... Come on! Cut it out!
Stop it!
From the bottom of my heart, I'm sorry. Sincerely yours, Dustin. P.S. Call me.
Did you enjoy it?
What an ass. Call
me. Mackenzie finds that funny.
What an idiot.
You know, when I first sort of turned against him, because I never knew that much about him, Saved by the Bell was out of my radar.
He's back in the garbage.
No.
Yes, please.
No. No.
No. No. No. Didn't you, at least I sort of missed Saved by the Bell because I wasn't in high school or shortly out of high school.
I was the wrong age. I missed it. I didn't.
Well, I've been forced to learn an awful lot about the show. Which
I know it.
Really, what a waste of space in my life.
Right. It doesn't die. It's one of those things that just is around forever.
Yeah. And there's no fighting the fact that it had a big following. A lot of people have watched the show and know a lot about it. But when I first really was introduced to this guy, and I quickly thought not much of him, was when he was in Celebrity Boxing against Horshack. What's it, Ron Palilla?
Yep. Yeah.
And remember, he was like going, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And Horshack was clearly scared to death of him and is just a little wimpy guy, had no punch whatsoever. And Dustin looked like he really wanted to smush him, I mean, really crush him. And I would think most people in Celebrity Boxing would go, well, you know, I got to win, it's Horshack. But they wouldn't just try and pummel him and knock him down and really hurt the guy. But he looked like he really wanted to just humiliate him and, you know, be the hot shot, Mr. Big Tough Guy. Because remember, he's like, come on, let's go.
Yeah. This is claim to fame. It doesn't surprise me, too, that he would have approached that fight like that, you know? But, by the way, regarding People Magazine.
Yeah. Who'd want to be on People Magazine?
Yeah.
Why are we even talking about it?
Somebody.
The letters are the only good thing.
They wrote us an email to say that they searched all the archives of People Magazine to see if, in fact, he'd ever been on the cover. And all that comes up in the search all the way through all the archives is Dustin Hoffman. The only thing out there is the reunion cover without him. That's it. So apparently never has he or they been on.
Drew and Mike.
World Guinness Book of Records for, well, condoms being used, condoms not being used, and a lot of hard miles and miles and miles.
101.